Hello and welcome to the Thursday, November 7th, 2013 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Let's start today with an announcement by Rapid7 that discloses a number of IPMI vulnerabilities in Supermicro's IPMI implementation. This particular implementation is quite common, and Rapid7 has shown before via widespread scanning for IPMI servers. Also, looking at Shodan HQ, you may find a number of these IPMI servers exposed to the internet. The vulnerabilities themselves start out with some of the typical sort of embedded system vulnerabilities that we have, like for example hard-coded SSH and SSL keys and hard-coded passwords that cannot easily be changed or not changed at all by the user. In addition, we do have a number of buffer overflows in CGI-bin software that is being exposed. Some of these scripts are exposed before authentication, like for example the login script. So overall, this points to a pretty lousy software quality in this particular IPMI implementation, and I assume that Supermicro is not the only one who has these kind of flaws. As I said earlier, these flaws are somewhat typical, sadly, for many embedded systems. From a defensive point of view, there isn't a ton you can do. You likely need IPMI for remote access to these systems. You can do some firewalling to at least sort of not expose them to the public internet. You could restrict some access on the system itself. The SSL key, for example, can be updated, but the SSH key cannot be updated, and at least one of the passwords for the web services component of this IPMI implementation cannot be changed. So really not a lot you can do by reconfiguring IPMI. You're really just left to firewalling it or just turning it off, if even that is a reliable option. And just in time for the holidays and the shopping season, we do have a new edition of Ouch focusing on safe online shopping. Great little newsletter to point your family to get some tips and tricks on online shopping, and pick it up at securingthehuman.org. An interesting new cross-site request forging vulnerability in Twitter. Remember how Twitter was originally used via SMS messages? That's where the 140 character limit comes from, where you sent an SMS message to a particular shortcode, then the message was posted to Twitter. Now, in order to register a particular phone with Twitter, you have to first fill out a form on Twitter after you're logged into the website, and then a code is being sent to this phone, to which you just have to reply that you accept that this phone is the correct phone. Turns out the form that is being used to add new devices or new phones to your Twitter account is cross-site request forgeable. So in order to add your phone to someone else's Twitter account, all you need to do is, well, make sure that they visit a web page with a slightly modified version of this form while they are logged in to Twitter. Probably the easiest way to accomplish that is by sending them a tweet with the respective link. Once they visit your page, cross-site request forging takes over, registers your phone with Twitter, and then the second part of the handshake, where Twitter sends a message to your phone, is easily completed by yourself. Once this is in place, then you can use your phone to tweet on this particular user's behalf. Given all the mischief that has been caused with taking over Twitter accounts recently, this was a very simple way to add more problems for Twitter. Luckily, the person that found this vulnerability notified Twitter, and Twitter very quickly, within 24 hours, fixed this problem. And then we also got a number of Cisco patches today. I don't really want to go over them into too much detail. However, there's one vulnerability that particularly sticks out since we sort of started with IPMI and default passwords. And that's the Cisco Telepresence VX Clinical Assistance Video Conferencing System, which also suffers from a default admin password, which happens to be just a blank. So any remote attacker could fully take over the system using the admin account. Well, and that's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.